The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Our second Week 2 NFL preseason game is tonight. The Falcons square off against the Jets. It's at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Steve Levy, Lewis Riddick, and Dan Orlovsky have the call with Laura Rutledge on the field. Our coverage begins at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific with a special edition of Monday Night Countdown. Meanwhile, on Planet Earth, Swagoo, I got to get your thoughts on this. The Ravens won their preseason game last night, which, you know, we don't put a lot of stock in generally, but it's their 22nd preseason win in a row. This is a five-year streak. What do you make of this?
They put high importance on the preseason game, I guess, Dan. Like, I honestly, man, we don't get up this morning on Monday morning. Nobody cares. Nobody cares that the Ravens has won 22 preseason games. They got dudes working at grocery stores that played in some of these preseason games, care about that.
It's something weird about it. The Ravens, it matters to them. Again, 22 preseason wins in a row, and they'll try to go for another sweep next week. Anyway, meanwhile, welcome back to Get Up. We are coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. And as we turn to our second hour, we're talking Brady and the Bucks. The GOAT is back in Tampa with his team. But should another Bucks injury have us worried about Tampa, Tom? Plus, is a giant season coming up for Daniel Jones in New York. What does he have to do to stick around for the long term? And Dallas is counting on big things from its quarterback. We'll tell you why the Cowboys think Dak could be set up for his best year yet. As I mentioned, we are starting in Tampa, where Tom Brady is back in the building and expected to practice today. Brady has been away from the team since August 11th for personal reasons. And we do have sneaky big news about the Buccaneers. Another tough break on their offensive line. They lose guard Aaron Stinney for the season to a torn ACL and MCL. Stinney was battling for the starting left guard spot. No guarantee he would have won it, but the interior of this Bucs line, they're already down. The center, Ryan Jensen, is out. They lost a couple guys in free agency, retirement. Swagoo, it sounded like you were going to be very eloquent on this in the first hour before your mic cut out. So I want to go back to you. How worried should Brady be here?
I think he should be worried, Dan. And, I can make a lot of jokes, but I don't want to joke about these guys being injured. And obviously he lost guys to retirement and trade. This is a terrible situation. And I guarantee you that Tom Brady it's in the back of his mind. He's a competitor. I think he'll come out and kind of galvanize these guys and bring them together. But in the back of his mind, protection is everything for Tom Brady when it comes to how he plays the game, especially in the interior of his offensive line and offensive line in general. You remember the Tampa Bay Bucks, and it's so crazy to me. And I just look back to that Super Bowl when they beat Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes' offensive line was depleted. Mm-hmm. And we saw how that transpired. And now you continue to take these hits on your offensive line. And I know Tom Brady is sitting there thinking after coming off of his break or his leave for personal reasons, you lose another offensive lineman in that time. He got to be thinking, man, I should have stayed at home. Okay? Now, here goes the part where I think Tom Brady, where I'm going to try to think for him. And he's probably thinking, you know, I done played all these years. I done had really good offensive lines. I made my decision, like Sacho talked about him going to Tampa based on what those guys had. Tristan Wirfs was drafted and worked out very well, played tremendous. And now you got 4 to 5 offensive linemen that you started with that won't be there and won't be available. And I know Tom Brady is thinking about Martha's Vineyard. He's thinking about the Hamptons. He's thinking about that big old house he rented in Florida or that boat I thought he would be on in the Greek Isles. And he's saying to himself, maybe that wasn't such a bad idea. Or even ownership into the Miami Dolphins, whatever y'all choose.
Because there was a time this offseason, Sacho, where he did decide to stay at home, and then he changed his mind about a month later. So do you agree with Swaggoo? Is this a big concern for Brady?
Swaggoo's starting to convince me. Initially, I was straight up, I was really concerned early on. Like, I was like, another injury. Then I kind of said, okay, hold on. Aaron Stinney, and watch that injury. That hurt my heart. I know Stinney. I play with Stinney. Like, anytime guys get hurt, anybody who played gets it, it just breaks your heart. So I feel for Aaron. The other part of it, though, is I think that the right tackle that they drafted, Luke Adeke, who in the second round of last year's draft, or this year's draft, who's moving to guard, I think he's going to be able to fill that spot. And yes, people say, well, he got beat in the preseason and, oh, he gave up a holding call. He's learning a new position, and he's doing it well, right? So he's learning. Everything happens quicker on the inside. So I think Kadecki can play at guard. Hainsey, as you see, can play at center. They brought in Shaq Mason from New England. I think it's not as bad as you think right now. Now, if they lose another guy, then you start really getting concerned. But for now, the starting lineup seems to be set. You have 3 weeks before the first game to get those guys healthy. Depth is the concern. And so I'm with you, Swaggoo. I think Gadecki can really step in at that guard spot. Hainsey's got the experience. At least they believe in him. And I think they'll be okay.
Kimberly, what are you hearing out of Tampa?
So with all these injuries, I thought Brady was probably walking around at home like, Giselle is about to tell me, I told you so.
Oh,
I told you so. You should have sit your butt right on that couch with me. I told you so. That's probably what I would have said to my husband. But watching all these injuries happen, I got to be honest. Normally, I'm super objective. I don't root for people. But I was starting to feel a little depressed. Like, I'm like, what the hell is happening with the Bucks? Like, this is a team where just a couple weeks ago, I'm like, okay, Super Bowl favorite, cool. And, I couldn't even get excited about Chris Godwin being, in 7-on-7s because I just feel like there's so many injuries. And then I talked to people with the Bucks, and they were basically like, calm down, lady, calm down, because we are good. We feel good about the people we have internally. Now, Sacho's point, they feel good, but they also understand we can't afford to lose anyone else. But the guys that they've drafted, they are young. They haven't proven things yet, but there's a reason that they were brought in. They internally, they feel very high about them. So as much as the outside, as much as Swaggoo and I might be feeling a little type of way, they feel good.
Swaggoo, quick final word.
Guys, as the resident defensive lineman that played in the trenches, I want to play Tampa first. Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay.
I
want to play them first. So that is what I'll leave it at, Dan. Go ahead. I had to get that in.
Now, we want to go and talk about a team that has been having offensive line problems for years now. That's the New York Giants, because they played in our game of the night last night. Daniel Jones getting the start for the Giants as they take on the Cincinnati Bengals. First possession, they're going to go for it on 4th-and-1 just beyond midfield, and Antonio Williams is going to get tackled right near the line to gain. They measure. He did not get it. It's Bengals ball. Brian Daboll is upset that he didn't get it. Next Giants possession, 2nd-and-4 at the Bengals 44. Jones looking for tight end Daniel Bellinger. Bellinger can't hang on. First round pick Daxton Hill comes up with the interception. Jones, not happy. He says, you're killing me, Bellinger, or something like that. Later in the quarter, Jones looking to bounce back. He lofts this pass to David Sills, the 5th. He's going to snag the ball off his back shoulder for the grab. Giants gain 20 yards on the play. A few plays later, 2nd quarter now, Jones under pressure. He gets the throw off quickly. It's Sills again. Giants are moving the chains. Very next play, Jones is going to find Williams, who turns it upfield, gets 12 yards. Giants are moving the ball. Now they have 2nd-and-goal from the 2-yard line, and Jashawn Corbin is going to punch it in for a touchdown. Saquon Barkley loves it. Here's what Brian Daboll had to say about his quarterback.
We're still building that process, that relationship, and I love the kid of figuring out exactly, what we're going to try to be.
All right, Swaggoo, what was your single biggest takeaway from Daniel Jones last night?
I thought he looked good last night. I thought he was precise, and obviously he's playing against who he's playing against, but there are certain things you can take away: the timing, the ball placement, The interception wasn't on him. I thought he threw it. He threw hot fire. That thing came out fast. But I don't know if it could have been a little bit more touch. I know our quarterbacks will break that down a little bit more. But you saw the athleticism on a third and three scramble. Look, man. Look. Let me just say this, okay? Because I'm really getting. Daniel Jones is that dude that walk in the gym that look really good and you think he can hoop and he make a couple plays and you like, oh, we got something. And then when it get tight and you're going to 21 like we used to play in the hood and the score is 19-18, you know Daniel Jones going to throw it over the top of the backboard. That is MO right now.
That is perfect.
Okay, so I'm going to wait and see before I get excited about Daniel Jones playing against backups in the preseason. We knew Daniel Jones had arm strength. We knew he had ball placement. We knew he was cerebral and he could throw the football at a high clip. We knew he was athletic, even though he broke away free and tripped on his own feet.
Come on, man.
Beside all of that, okay? Beside all of that, he's in the best, I believe, situation he's been in since he's been in the NFL. Which may pay dividends for him with Daboll coming over, Saquon being healthy and hopefully staying healthy, Kadarius Toney. It seems like Galladay is trying to assert himself at that wide receiver spot. Daniel Jones has no room for error. So as we break this preseason down and we talk about the Giants playing against the twos and the threes for Cincinnati, show me Daniel Jones in the fourth quarter in a real regular season game, not throw the ball to the other team, and then we will discuss Daniel Jones and how we move forward.
Yeah, Kimberly, what's at stake here for Daniel? Like, how important is it for him to stop throwing the ball over the backboard?
If he wants to play with Marcus in the hood, very important. It's everything. This kid is literally playing for job security. He's playing to remain in New York. Now, when you talk to people about Daniel Jones, like I even talked to a general manager last night, you know, who looked at Daniel Jones heading into the draft and all of that, and he said, you know, we knew he was smart, but he likened him to Sam Darnold. And that, as a former Jets beat writer, like, that gave me pause. Like, oh, here we go. And the thing is, it's not his intellect. He's smart. He can process quickly. But it's the leadership. It's the command. Like, there's no presence. Like, he's just there. And that, it's almost like Dan Orlovsky's dinner. It is just bland. And you're wondering, when is this going to excite me? Like, why are my taste buds dead? And so that's what it's like watching Daniel Jones sometimes. Like, you need a guy to go in a huddle and say, you know what, we're trailing, but I got you. I got us. We are winning this game. And I think that's sometimes when you talk to people around the league, like, they don't know if Daniel Jones can be that Joe Burrow type of guy in the huddle. And that's what the Giants have to use this entire year. Forget Tyrod Taylor for a second. The Giants have to figure out what they have in Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Sacho, some unfortunate analogies being used on Daniel Jones here this morning. In case he's watching, can you tell us anything good here?
He's phenomenal.
No, what I will say is this. Kmart, that's the reason why you bring in Brian Daboll. Right, like everything we're saying, he's bad, he's this, he's that, we don't know, let's see. That's the reason. Like, I was most impressed, honestly, by some of the checkdowns that he took, right? I was most impressed by him not taking a sack and throwing the check down, knowing where it was on time. Like Swagoo said, we'll have quarterbacks on who can break that down. But for me, I'm watching that operation, I'm saying, wow. Like, I get it. 8 straight completions, some of them were shorter passes. But there were some plays where he felt pressure, and he took what the defense gave him. That's what Brian Daboll is there to do. Let me see, Daniel Jones, what you're good at. Let me see what you excel at. Let me see what you like, and let me bring that to the table. That's what he did in Buffalo with Josh Allen. That's what, mind you, I was with them for a little bit in 2019 with Brian Daboll, Josh Allen, all of them. Like, that's what I saw Brian Daboll.
You have not played
I was on three teams, Kmart. I was on three teams, Kmart. Come on, now, chill out. I was on three teams.
He played everywhere. He played in the league. He played in the league. The Rock started He played everywhere.
All right. I want to talk about something else that happened in this game that had nothing to do with Daniel Jones. This had to do with the first-round pick, Kayvon Thibodeau. And if you saw this play, it's a nasty-looking hit to the knee for Kayvon Thibodeau. He had to leave the game. Swagoo, as our resident defensive lineman, what did you think of that play?
Oh, it's dirty. Listen, and I heard Sacho when he talked about it, and I get it. But understand what we're doing, man. First of all, like, I know we talk about the league and
The majority of the guys in the league, and it could be an honest, just Thaddeus Moss trying to go make a play, his preseason trying to make a team. But that also lends itself to it being dirty. It's preseason, bro. Like, you can't, you shooting at a guy's knee in preseason and ends up like this. This is a real big reason why the cut block is being eliminated, why it's so talked about as one of those huge things that the league wants to rid itself of. But I just, like, I cannot look at this play and think about all of the D linemen that I've seen end up with torn ACLs and torn meniscus and being out for an extended period of time, and you get a cross block and it ends up in your knee. To me, that's a dirty play.
Yeah, so Swagoo, as the resident outside linebacker, whatever you want to say, who's played in plays like that before, and you've been cut before too, I get it. Bro, just use your hands. Yep. Like, straight up, like, whoever their coach is needs to drill this, right? Like, in games, whether preseason or regular season games, tight ends will come across the line. They will try to cut you. So practice it. Use your hands. Don't even shoulder, elbow. Use your hands and avoid that block, because as of now, the cut block has not been outlawed. I don't think that's a dirty play. I think that's a player doing what he's taught as far as the offensive player. But as an outside linebacker, as an edge player, in practice, they may not cut you. In games, preseason, postseason, otherwise, they're going to cut. Use your hands, avoid the block, or get underneath, but don't let that happen to you.
All right, Kimberly, what do we know about Thibodeau and how serious this is?
Oh, go ahead. My bad, Kmart.
Quick update. This morning is critical for the Giants. Yes, Kayvon Thibodeau was spotted walking through MetLife Stadium last night. He told reporters, I'm good. I got good news already, which is optimistic if you're a Giants fan, but he's going to get an MRI this morning and other tests. And until the Giants get those results, they're not going to feel good or feel like Kayvon Thibodeau is out of the woods just yet. So until they know for certain, that's what they're waiting for.
All right, fingers crossed for the Giants and their fans and their exciting rookie edge rusher. We come back, we're going to talk more quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen were up to their old tricks over the weekend. But who did it better? And who is more likely to lead his team to the Super Bowl? Plus, no Devontae Adams? No problem. Why Aaron Rodgers is poised for another MVP season with one of his most trusted teammates back on the field in Green Bay.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Right, we're going to play a game called Who Did It Better. We're going to show you two great plays from two great quarterbacks, and we're going to debate which one was better. The first one is from Patrick Mahomes. Check out this sidearm throw. Scrambling. Oh. Scrambling left, throwing right sidearm through basically the whole defense. Unbelievable to, I don't know, who is that? We don't know who the Chiefs receivers anymore. Who caught that? Anyway, doesn't matter. It's a Mahomes play, and it looked fantastic. Here's Josh Allen's play. Both these guys played in the preseason game on Saturday. Here's Allen dropping back. Doesn't see anybody. He's going to spin, and then he's going to make this throw to the end zone. Now, I think we can all agree that both of these plays are flat out awesome. So let's put that right on the table, right? Because you guys we're gonna pick, and people are gonna be annoyed that their guy wasn't picked. But both these plays are fantastic, right? So, which one was better, Swagoo?
Mahomes, the degree of difficulty throwing back across the opposite way where your body going—that's hard, man. I'd have tore my labrum. I'd have ripped my elbow off my arm trying to do this. And you see this dude do this, and we take it for granted how hard it really is. And this is against NFL football players as well. Josh Allen's scramble was great. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks spin, stay in the pocket, and throw the ball, and they receive and make a play. This right here, though, that's some crazy, crazy work, and that's God-given.
It's Justin Watson caught the pass, by the way, so credit where it's due there. To Justin Watson, but a lot more credit to Patrick Mahomes. Sacho, you agree? Mahomes?
I'm going to go Josh Allen on this one. Mahomes, I love that Mahomes throw. And initially I said Mahomes because he makes it look so easy. But I just love the zip on Josh Allen's ball, right? Yeah. Turns around, looks around, and like a laser, a rocket. So they're both outstanding. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Both God-given. I love this throw a little bit more. And I think part of it, too, is, Mahomes makes it look so easy, man. So it's like you watch that throw. Other people try to do it. They can't do it. I haven't seen a lot of people do what Josh Allen just did either. And so I'm going to go Josh Allen by a smidge.
You know what's funny?
Break the tie.
I had the opposite reaction as Sacho. Shocking. I automatically said Josh Allen because I was like, that dude is just a big-ass ballerina. He is just out there pirouetting. He does not care, and he's got a rocket arm, right? But I fell victim to what I talked about earlier, and it's what Sacho just said.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes makes everything flick at a wrist. Okay.
Make it look easy.
It's like almost it's like, hard. Oh, like there was no zip. There was no nothing. It's just effortless, and this is what we need to challenge ourselves against. Just taking this man for granted and what he can do, because you can't do that. Other people can't do that. So I said Josh Allen because he's so big, he's so strong, and he's so nimble on his feet, and he's got the rocket arm, but that Mahomes is just, he's just different, man.
Come on, bro.
He's just different.
Come on, bro.
Ragu, final word.
Every time I watch it, you realize, man, that it's like all of these dudes that's playing quarterback in the NFL, they're pros, they deserve a lot of credit, and then there are these guys.
Yep. Yeah.
There are these aliens. There are these guys where when Kevin Hart was in his comedy series, he said, just look at this. Look at this. That's all I be saying when I see Josh Allen. Look at this. Aaron Rodgers. Look at this. Look at this. Can't nobody do this. Look at this.
And the
so that's what I—that's what I was thinking when I saw Patrick Mahomes just being back to his old self. And that's even ridiculous for us to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes does this in high leverage moments with games on the line.
Yeah.
And it works. This might be the year of gratitude from Swagoo instead of me tearing everybody out the frame. This may be me realizing that these dudes are special individuals at these quarterback spots that we watching every week.
Well, we're all looking forward to that. These two players, they kind of thing get you fired up about the season coming, right?
Think about it.
Inside 3 weeks, can't get here fast enough. When we come back on Get Up, Dak is looking great in training camp this summer, but can he be great enough on the field for the Cowboys once the regular season starts? And Aaron Rodgers might have lost his star wide receiver this offseason, but there was one addition this week that may be even more critical to Green Bay's success. We'll talk about that as well. But first, we have Sneaky Hembo for Swagoo. The question: 3 active quarterbacks have recorded multiple 13-win seasons. They are Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and who else?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up, we got Sneaky Hembo for Swagoo. 3 active quarterbacks have recorded multiple 13-win seasons. They are Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and one other guy. Swagoo, you got it?
Dan, I know you know the answer because you be whooping him, Bo. Man, I got no clue. I'm trying to think. If first initially Pat Mahomes has done a lot of winning in his early career, I'm thinking about guys that's been in the league. I'm going to go Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson is a good guess, but it is not correct. The answer is Matt Ryan. And honestly, I think this is a good question. I don't know if I would have got that if I didn't have it on a piece of paper in front of me. Matt Ryan, 2010-2012. The guy's had a lot of success in Atlanta. We'll see how he does in Indianapolis. We want to talk Packers, though. We have David Bakhtiari back from his torn ACL. It's been almost 600 days since he tore that ACL. Played just 1 game last year. Back on the practice field Sunday. In Tampa, Aaron Stinney, one of their potential starting guards, out for the season due to a torn ACL and MCL. So what we're dealing with here is a Packers team that's getting healthier on the offensive line and a Bucs team that's getting a little less healthy on the offensive line. So a lot for both of those quarterbacks, great quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, to try and overcome. What we wanted to ask is which of these quarterbacks, given everything that's going on, and it does sound like a setup, which of these quarterbacks do you feel more confident in reaching the Super Bowl? Kimberly Martin, start with you.
You know what? Logic will tell me to say Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, right? Because Aaron Rodgers, as we talked about last year, he didn't have Bakhtiari. They played well. Tom Brady's a statue. So the fact that he's having offensive line injuries, not good. But I'm going to say the Bucs because I just trust Tom Brady more in big moments. I just do. Right. I have nothing else to give you but that for this gotcha question.
It is. But, you know, I mean, Rodgers hasn't, you know, the last couple of years in the playoffs has not delivered. And Brady has, even against Rodgers, notably one time. So, Marcus Spears, who's likely to reach the Super Bowl right now, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers?
I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers. And I know the one concern we have is the wide receiver group. But we've seen Aaron do well with that core. Now, if they don't get in sync, obviously it may not be enough. You think about the NFC in totality, though.
That division.
There's very few teams where you feel a lot of confidence in as far as talking about Super Bowl outside of the Rams, Green Bay, and Tampa. And really Tampa right now because Tom Brady is the quarterback. Because we also got to remember that Chris Godwin is not going to be coming back super early with this football team and how important it is trying to get them seeds. But I'm going to go athleticism. And that's the one thing we don't talk about enough with Aaron Rodgers. And that's why he's had so much success with the interchanging of his offensive line is because he is a legit dual threat quarterback. Yeah. And I know we don't talk about that because we're enamored with his arms and how well he places the ball. But Aaron Rodgers can make up for what he lacks offensive line wise. I'm not sure about Tom Brady at 45 right now.
Yeah, no, you don't see Brady running around. I mean, obviously, it is a different kind of player. But he does manage, Sacho, to help himself protection-wise with the way he moves in the pocket. What's your answer here? Break the tie.
He does. I'm going to go Tom Brady on this one. I trust him. I don't even that I trust him. Like, you could go either way. And I went back and forth. But for whatever reason, I think that Tom Brady has a way about himself. And I get the offensive line is not fully healthy yet. But I think when he's back, which is today, right, he's going to be able to instill that same kind of belief. And so I'll go Tom Brady. I could easily go Aaron Rodgers. You could talk about defense. Both defenses are both going to be elite this year, I think. I just give the slight edge to Tom Brady.
Well, that's interesting that you say that. Both defenses could be elite. I mean, like when you look at, we talked about the Packers wide receiver core and versus the Bucks. Packers love their running backs. Like, if I said, Sacho, which roster do you like? Like, who's got the better team around him if he doesn't have to carry his team to the Super Bowl?
I'd still go Tampa as far as roster. And I'd go that way, even though there's injuries, but I go that way because of Godwin and Mike Evans, right? Godwin will get healthy. I go that way because of defense, right? You got Shaq Barrett on the outside, two of the best inside linebackers in the game. Vita Vea's dominant. Akeem Hicks, hopefully for a resurgence this year. I would go Tampa, but Green Bay's roster is nothing to sleep on, right? Like, I think Green Bay defensively is great. The question marks are still only at wide receiver for Green Bay.
Swaggo, you agree?
Ooh.
It's team you like
that. I would probably go Green Bay, and because of this offensive line.
Okay.
And, like, honestly, like, they know more about who they are right now than Tampa does. And defensively, like, yeah, you Sacho name phenomenal players, but I like Rashawn Gary. I like Preston Smith. I like Kenny Clark in the interior. I like them drafting Quay Walker. Like, they are serious. And out of every DB, and I know you can make a hard argument between these defensive backs, but I'm taking Jair Alexander over anybody in each one of these secondaries. So I would probably go Green Bay right now.
One thing's for sure, today's edition of Get Up is brought to you by the word phenomenal, which has been a fair bit here. We want to move now to Dallas, where we believe another team that at least hopes to be an NFC contender. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys look to build off their disappointing end to last season. Over the weekend, Cowboys Vice President Stephen Jones had some really high praise for his quarterback. Jones told the Dallas Morning News, quote, "I thought he's had his best camp that I've seen him have since he's been a Cowboy. Velocity, his accuracy, the whole thing. Obviously, as the quarterbacks get older, they get better. The good ones do. They get better every year. There's no question in my mind, I think he's had his best training camp that he's ever had," which sounds fantastic. It sounds like training camp talk, but it's not nothing. I mean, Dak Prescott is not coming off injury this year as he was last year, so that obviously matters. Marcus, even if you buy into the idea that he's had his best camp, is he set up to have his best season?
I can't honestly, no. I can't answer that question right now with a yes, because we are seeing CeeDee Lamb for the first time at the number one spot. We don't know what Zeke is. We don't know how much Tony Pollard is going to be involved. Here's what I don't want people to get twisted. The Cowboys still really have really good skill position players. And I know the receiver spot is banged up. But when you think about the guys with the ball in their hands, it's a lot of playmakers out here. And look, let's give Turpin a shout out. That's going to be a big deal in their return game, and maybe getting him the ball in some offensive situations. You see the explosiveness. But I like Dak having his best training camp, his best offseason. That, for me, Dak is fine. I don't think Dak was the question for anybody coming into the season. If there's any hope, it's because of Dak Prescott when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. But these offensive line and the interchanging of that, can Tyron Smith stay healthy for a large majority of this season? Is Tyler Smith, the rookie that they drafted, not only going to play well, but not have the penalties that he had in college and some that we've seen come to fruition in the preseason? But ultimately, if this team has protection, if they are able to run the football, they will be a really good team in the NFC. And they will have the ability to go to the playoffs and potentially win a playoff game. But until then, until we see this offensive line, no. He's not set up for his best season yet. And if anybody wanted to just come on here and flat out lie to the American public and tell them that a quarterback is going to have his best season and they don't know what the hell his offensive line is going to look like, then we just paying checks to anybody to come on TV.
Kimberly, what are you expecting out of the Cowboys?
I hope Dak is having his best training camp ever. I hope Dak has showed up in the best shape of his life. I hope Dak has returned with a chip on his shoulder. Because I don't understand how this could be the best season. Like, Michael Gallup just started practicing for the first time since January. James Washington is sidelined. People don't even want Zeke to get as many carries. They want Tony Pollard. Like, there's no Amari Cooper. There's no Cedric Wilson. Like, this is a Cowboys team, you know, early in the year I thought, well, this is the team that's the favorite in the division because they have the best quarterback. But as the weeks and months have gone on, you're just looking for reasons to be optimistic about the Cowboys, and you're not really finding a lot of them outside of the quarterback. It is a huge position. It is the position. But I hope that Stephen Jones knows something that the rest of us don't because he's there. Because when you look at it realistically, this can't be the best season that he's set up to have the best season.
Sacho, if the Cowboys want to do what they haven't been able to do lately, make a deep playoff run, what's the most important thing for them to do?
Most important thing is to find a reliable number two receiver. I think that's the most important thing. You let Amari Cooper go. You need to find someone. Even if Dak is having his best camp ever and the best season ever, best whatever, you have to have somebody to throw to, right? And so if CeeDee Lamb does prove he can be a number one, who's going to be number two, right? When will Michael Gallup be healthy? Will Jalen Tolbert be able to step up? Who's going to be number two? So we don't have to rely on the run all season long. And if Zeke happens to get injured, now all of a sudden the Cowboys are struggling. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think it's finding a reliable number two receiver so that you can be balanced in your offensive attack. And this is obviously while Michael Gallup is getting healthy and hopefully comes all the way back healthy 100%. But that, for me, is the key. Who's going to be that number two receiver or number three when Michael Gallup
is healthy? It's two vital things I'm confident in. I'm confident Dak will play well and he'll help these guys come along. But I think one thing that's being slept on about the Dallas Cowboys is how good this defense is going to be. And I know last year everybody thought it was an anomaly. You can't keep turning the ball. Well, they did. They kept getting interceptions, and they kept forcing fumbles, and they kept sacking people all year long. So I just, like, before we just throw them off a cliff, and I know, and I'm more nervous than anybody because I know how important the offensive line is, but this defense will be able to carry them some when they need them to, and I'm looking forward to seeing them play this year as well, especially with Micah Parsons knowing more about this league and how to play this game.
And Swagoo, the defense will be better. That's the thing. Like, not just Micah Parsons knowing more, but the entire defense, the DBs, the linebackers, they'll understand Quinn's system better, so they'll be able to be more elaborate in their defense.
Have to leave it there for now. I guarantee we will have more Cowboys talk on Get Up in the weeks and months ahead. It is a win or go home game, however, in the first round of the best of three WNBA playoffs. The defending champs blew out the Liberty in game two Saturday and now have to go on the road with the new format. Sky Liberty, game three, tomorrow night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, on ESPN and the ESPN app. When we come back on Get Up, are we sleeping on San Francisco? Wait until you hear what one of our analysts had to say about the 49ers and their up-and-coming young quarterback.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, Back on Get Up, week two of the NFL preseason wraps up tonight. One of the notable players we did not see suit up this week was the 49ers' Trey Lance, second-year quarterback for whom there are high hopes. Last week on Get Up, our friend Chris Canty said this about the Niners and their second-year quarterback.
The 49ers are going to the Super Bowl. They will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I believe in Trey Lance. More importantly, I believe in Kyle Shanahan getting the most out of the players on this team. All of the pieces are in place for the 49ers not only to win their division, but actually do damage once they get into the postseason.
All right. Canty was asked for a bold prediction and swagoo. He delivered. Do you agree with him?
Why not? It's a bold prediction, but why not? We've seen the San Francisco 49ers go to the Super Bowl throwing the ball eight times. Like, I mean, they are going to be really good on the defense. They're going to have a really good offensive line. We know they're going to run the ball well. That's what Kyle Shanahan does. As long as Trey Lance don't fumble the bag and throw the ball to the other team, this team wins games in spite of the quarterback. You know, that's why I used to have such a visceral reaction to all of this Jimmy Garoppolo leading the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl when he throw a 3-yard pass and Debo go 80. So listen, with all of that being said, Trey Lance develops. Kyle Shanahan will make sure he's in great situations. He's going to tone down mistakes. And we've seen that formula, what I just explained, take the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl. So it's not outlandish to me. And for a bold prediction, it seems pretty on. Shout out to my man Chris Canty, too, former teammate. I love you, bro.
Yeah, Garoppolo has been made out to be Joe Montana in some corners of NFL analysis this offseason.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of with you there, Swagoo. Sacho, do you agree with Chris Canty that the Niners are a legit Super Bowl contender in Trey Lance's first year as the starter?
Yeah, I definitely think they're a contender. They wouldn't necessarily be my pick right now. I'll say that. Like, right now, I'd still have the Rams edging them out, mainly because of the addition of Allen Robinson, who went healthy or went, you know, at least not last year with the rookie quarterback, but the years before, 1,100 receiving yards. He's a dominant receiver, in my opinion. And then the addition of Bobby Wagner on the defensive side of the ball. I still think the Rams are the favorite, but by no means do I sit here and be like, well, no, San Francisco doesn't have a legitimate shot. I think they do have a more than a legitimate shot. They just have to get over this team right there.
You know, what I find interesting is I could get behind this. Like, this to me is bold, but I could see it.
Yeah.
But think about the draft. Think about last year. People were literally saying, oh, the 49ers are drafting Mac Jones. Like, that's a done deal. Like, they're taking Mac Jones. Meanwhile, internally in that building, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan were thinking about the upside. They were thinking about the versatility. They were thinking about the higher ceiling. What can we do? The type of playmaker, not who's the best, who's most pro ready right now, but who will be the best long term. That is why Trey Lance is here. He is a departure from what a lot of people thought the San Francisco 49ers would do. So I think this roster is set up. This is he, of all the young quarterbacks, is in a great position, the best position, because he's inherited a complete team with a phenomenal head coach. That's why I don't think this is as crazy as some people might think.
Yeah, all right. So, Kimberly, having said that, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who is your favorite to win the NFC at this moment?
So I would say, I'm still going to say it's got to be the Rams or the Bucks. Like, give the Rams the nod as the defending champs. But I still feel Tom Brady, to me, is the guy that, despite all the evidence that points to the contrary, why you should not, why you should abort, why you should get off this hype train, he's the guy that makes you think, yeah, despite the offensive line issues, despite the fact, what I say now? What I do?
You can finish. Don't let him intimidate you. He likes to sigh and stuff.
Should I say the Cowboys? Like, what did Marcus want me to say? I still think it's going to be the Rams or the Bucks.
All right. What do you got, Swagoo?
Oh, okay. All right. You got the Rams. K-Mart, Aaron Donald still play for the Rams. And we talking about Tampa offensive line?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay. Okay, we can think about Tom Brady. Think about Tom Brady's arch nemesis. It is number 99 out there in Los Angeles.
I give you that because I covered that Rams-Bucks game. I was there. I watched them go toe-to-toe, and I watched the Rams walk off that field victorious. So I understand. I hear you.
But you said Rams, so we good. You said Rams. Right. We good. We good.
Aaron Donald,
I thought you was about to start leaning towards Tampa.
Aaron Donald, a lot of people's arch nemesis. They're not. Brady's not in bad company there, that's for sure. Today we got four Little League World Series winners brackets games for you. Chinese Taipei and Panama start us off at 1 Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on ESPN, followed by the kids from Tennessee taking on Indiana. And it's Canada and Mexico. And it's 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. On ESPN2, the boys from Texas square off against a powerful Hawaii team. All four games are also available on the ESPN app. You can watch them anywhere. We got a little more to do here, but when we are done, we'll have First Take. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, both with question marks surrounding their teams this offseason. But which quarterback should be more concerned? You'll hear from Stephen A. Smith and Michael Irvin on First Take when we're done here. Get Up is brought to you by Pizza Hut. No one out-pizzas the Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com or download the app. Our second Week 2 NFL preseason game is tonight. The Falcons square off against the Jets. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Dan Orlovsky have the call with Laura Rutledge on the field. Our coverage begins at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, with a special edition of Monday Night Countdown. To wrap up today's show, we go back to the NFL, where Tom Brady has returned to Bucs camp and is expected to practice today. Brady has been away from the team since August 11th for personal reasons, but he is back. And when he vanished without really any explanation, we kind of, we talked a little bit about how this would affect the team. So a little more than 2 weeks ahead of the season opener, Swagoo, what does Brady being back in camp mean for the Bucs?
I think it'll instill a lot of confidence in guys, and him having to step away from training camp, obviously he had to handle some personal issues. You just hope his mind is right. He's all there. I know we keep talking about the Bucs and what that means, but just because he's returned doesn't mean his mind isn't still on whatever he left the field for. So hopefully he can compartmentalize and get it done. But I know with the guys that's looking at Tom Brady as their quarterback, it's probably going to instill a lot of confidence. And this offensive line is going to feel a little bit of pressure, especially guys in the new spot protecting the GOAT.
Kimberly, what are you hearing when you talk to folks about the Bucs and Brady?
Yeah, so I checked in this morning and it's business as usual for them. That's what's so interesting. Like, we're more hyped that Brady's back because it signals a return to normalcy. It signals, okay, just his calming presence, just having your leader there makes everything better. But internally, this is just another Monday. And Brady's going to be here, so let's just get right back to what we were doing.
Nacho, what do you think? The starting quarterback vanishes for 10 days in camp. Now he's back. What's that feel like?
Hopefully a sense of normalcy. Hopefully a sense of we put that behind us. Now let's move ahead. Obviously, Swagoo makes a great point. You retire. You're gone for 40 days. You come back. You miss a couple points. You miss a little bit of time early in training camp. You come back. You miss some time now. Hopefully whatever is going on is behind him, but hopefully it's some normalcy for the rest of the team.
Yeah, and we talked about how important it is for Brady to be there to help overcome the offensive line issues, another injury on that offensive line. Over the weekend, it has been a rough go for that bunch this offseason and this training camp. Not for us, though. We had a phenomenal show, right?
I'm glad we was able to connect, family.
Phenomenal.
I'm glad we was able to connect.
Glad Swagoo got back on. Thank you all for watching. We'll be back tomorrow.
Much love, family.
First Take is next.
Ha ha ha.